much, Rebecca, for that. I tell you, Brother Ken, thank you for that, leading us in that worship. I tell you, we have sang and celebrated the fact that Jesus is alive. Hell has been defeated. The grave could not hold him. He's risen. He's risen indeed. I love the chorus we just sang. What is it? Death is dead. Life has won. Christ has conquered. And we shall reign with him, for he lives. Christ is risen from the dead. Amen. Amen. We've been on a journey. We've been on a series. And we've been looking at Christ as the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. We started out looking at the perfect Lamb, the Lamb without spot or blemish. And we looked at key elements of sacrifice, that God's holy and he hates our sin. And without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. And so we looked back at the Old Testament. And then we also looked at Isaiah 53, the Lamb as our substitute, the Lamb that took our place. And the next week, we moved into the Lamb who redeemed us, the Lamb who purchased us, who bought us, who ransomed us from the grips of hell and death and judgment. We sing that song. Miss Pat was singing it, that amazing grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. That redemption comes through the blood of Jesus and that Lamb that atoned for our sins and setting us free from our enemies and the slavery and the bondage that we're in. Yesterday we celebrated an Easter egg hunt and had a little devotional, and we talked to the children about darkness and how the light came into the darkness and overcame the darkness. And a lot of times darkness is associated with sin and rebellion and death and judgment. But Jesus came to bring light, to overcome the darkness. Jesus redeemed us. We saw the redeeming Lamb. And then we moved last week and we looked at the Passover Lamb. We looked at, through his sinless life and sacrificial death, Jesus became the only one capable of giving people a way to escape death and a sure hope of eternal life. So we come thinking about our victory we have in Jesus, who was our substitute, who redeemed us from our slavery, who passed over us, and because of his blood, death could not, we no longer have to suffer eternal death and separation from God. So we're here to celebrate. So this morning, we're going to look at the Lamb who is worthy, the triumphant Lamb, the Lamb who overcame. If you want to flip with me to Revelation chapter 5. We're going to look at the Lamb who overcame, the triumphant Lamb. Both these chapters in 4 and 5, this scene is in heaven. John is getting this revelation as he's writing in exile on the island of Patmos. And he's looking into the throne room of heaven in chapter 4. And we're seeing some neat things happen. The chapter 4, we're focusing on a throne. In chapter 5, we're focusing on a scroll. And the question we see at the very beginning of this chapter is, who is worthy? Who is worthy to open this scroll? Who is worthy to open the detailed plans and purposes of God for subduing the enemies of Christ and establishing his reign upon the earth? And there's a very somber tone. This revelation starts out with a lot of sadness, and it seems like hopelessness and despair. But the tone quickly changes. If you would, stand with me as we read together. As we get a glimpse of what would be going on in heaven before God pours out his judgments on the earth. This is Revelation 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals. And between the throne and the 4 living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with 7 horns and with 7 eyes. which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people from God, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom of priests and priests to our God." Remember that Jesus' blood justifies. It makes us right before God. It says that "and you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. May God be richly blessed through the reading and preaching of his word. You may be seated. So you see, the first question we look at is, who is worthy? As John looks out, no one is worthy. As this angel in verse 3 goes on this universal search. In verse 3 it says, "No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it." Now what is so important about this scroll? What is this? This scroll contains the detailed plans and purposes of God for subduing the enemies of Christ and establishing his reign upon the earth. The perfect number of seals, 7, may also hint at the absolute sacredness of the scrolls. The seals inform us that while the plan has been settled in the eternal counsels of God, notice who holds the scroll, God who has ordained this from the very beginning. It's written, it's sealed with 7 different seals for appropriate times to be opened. The writing is on the front and the back, and it's very important, and God the Father holds it, but there's no one able to get it and to open it. It has been concealed, and only one who is duly authorized may open it to read it and to execute it. Only one who could execute it could open it and read it. The period of grace of God's long suffering has now come to an end, and through chapter 6 through 14 or through 18, there's fixed to be God's judgment. He's going to fulfill his promises to believers, but now you're going to see the sacrificial lamb who came to take away the sins of the world. This period of grace is now transitioning into a period of judgment, of God's wrath on his enemies. But we're looking for someone to carry out this sentence, to vindicate God's holiness, to come and to plead the blood, to come and to, for all the things that happen on earth towards God's righteous, the innocent that were mistreated and oppressed, as we tried to love our enemies and do what God called us to do. The Lord said, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. But now, these promises can't be carried out because there's no one worthy. And John says, "I begin to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it." It's a very sad, hopeless scene. But then we move from no one being found worthy to Jesus. Jesus, the elder looks at it and says, "Weep no more. Jesus is worthy." Look at verse 5. "And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals.'" Man, we see this, the Lion from the tribe of Judah. This is a prophecy of Jacob's son, the crouching lion. And we know that Jesus was coming from that tribe. We know that Jesus was coming from the root of Jesse, from the kingly lineage of David, that the Messiah would come. And so this is foreshadowing the ancient prophecies that were pointing toward Christ, the Lamb who was coming to take away the sins of the world, that John the Baptist, as he looks out and he sees the Spirit of God descend on this one man, Jesus, and he says, this is him. This is the one, the Lamb, who's come to take away our sin, the substitute Lamb, the redeeming Lamb, the Passover Lamb, the Lamb who triumphs and is bringing victory is before us. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered. This is the word for Nike uses. It's victorious. He's prevailed. So that now he's able to open the scroll. And all of a sudden John was comforted by this elder, one of the 24 elders, as he gives the news that Jesus would open the scroll. Jesus would fulfill God's plans and purposes. Jesus was going to bring judgment on his enemies. Jesus was going to point toward everlasting eternal hope and all the promises that he came to fulfill. As God's anointed one, Jesus alone possessed the authority to open the seals. Jesus overcame Satan, sin, death, so he could implement God's purposes for the future that this scroll revealed. But only Christ, only Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb, could carry out God's final purposes on earth. It's kind of interesting here. You know, John looks and he expects to see a Lamb, but what does he see? He sees the Lion King. He sees the Lion King, and we see four things that he sees here. He sees first off, he sees the Messiah as the Lamb. Look at verse 5. Weep no more, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll. So he sees a lion. But then he moves on and he says what? In verse 6, what does he see? And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a what? A lamb. He sees a lion and he sees the lamb. Guys, I tell you, if we reject the lamb, we're going to see the lion one day. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord. And we're fixed to see worship that starts around the throne and then it goes out and pervades heaven. And then it says there towards the end that every creature across the universe is singing and celebrating the Lamb and giving blessings and honor and wealth and wisdom to the Lamb who is worthy. The symbol of Jesus is at his first advent was the lamb, meek and submissive to a sacrificial death as our substitute. But then the lion is a symbol of Jesus at his second coming, powerful and aggressively judging the world in righteousness. The lamb was at the center and central character of this heavenly scene. We see the lamb. We see the lamb has been slain. It says that I saw with the lamb standing as though it had been slain. This word has to do with being cut up, mutilated, sacrificed. It has to do with what we just celebrated, the crucifixion of Jesus. There's almost imagery here of the goriness of this bloody slain lamb that was standing, the thorns, the whip, the spear. We think about Jesus and what he endured. But now we see this sacrificial lamb, but guess what, guys? This lamb that looks to be slain, he's standing. The lamb is standing. The lamb is no longer hanging on a cross. The lamb is no longer in a tomb. The lamb is not dead. The lamb is standing. This is a picture of the resurrection. This is a picture of what we're celebrating here today, victory. He's risen. He lives. And as John looks out and sees the Lamb who is worthy, he sees the bloodiness. He sees the scars. He sees the wounds. But he sees the Lamb standing. The Lamb is standing. The Lamb who was violently slaughtered, now standing, is alive. A picture of the resurrection. But we also see here, what is the Lamb? What does it tell us about the Lamb? The Lamb has been slain, but it says, and with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And it says, and he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. These seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the seven spirits, represent Jesus' completeness, the number seven, completeness of all power, omnipotent. The horns would represent strength and power. These horns, with seven of them, would represent this Lamb that has all power. He's omnipotent, fully and completely. But also the seven eyes, seven complete, all-knowing. We're not going to pull anything over the Lamb's eyes, guys. He's all-knowing. The seven spirits, He sees. We may think we're hiding something from Him, but He's omnipotent and He's all-power, but He's also omniscient. He's all-knowing. And these horns and these eyes celebrate this Lamb that is awesome. The Lamb can't be fooled. If we reject the Lamb, we'll one day face the lion. The purpose of His first coming was gracious, to seek and to save the lost. The purpose of His second coming will be to deal with enemies and fulfill His promises of blessing to His own. Friend, let us not reject the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. Look at verse 7. It says in verse 7, "And He went and took the scroll from the right hand of Him who was seated on the throne." This is the transfer of ownership. This is God the Father handing the authority to the Son to carry out these sentences of judgment and promises of future blessing to his own. We also see around this throne in 8 and 10, you're going to see, verses 8 and 10, you're going to see worship around the throne. And it's going to move into heaven in verses 11 and 12. And then it's going to be all throughout the universe as we see worship of Jesus spreads throughout all creation. It's like that wave at the football game that starts and it begins to get bigger and it begins to go around and around and around this heavenly scene of worship. So the first question we ask is, who's worthy? Then we see the elders say, "Weep no more, Jesus is worthy." We see the picture of the Lion from the tribe of Judah, from the root of Jesse, the lineage of David, who is conquered. Then you see the slain Lamb that's covered in blood, that's got the scars and the thorns and this imagery of this Agnus Dei. The Lamb is victorious in Latin. The Lamb who is overcome, the victorious Lamb. We now see Him slain. And now we move to who is worthy. Jesus is worthy. Weep no more. And now we move to this worshiping the Lamb who is worthy. We move to this scene of worship that begins with verse 8 of chapter 5. Look with me. "And when He had taken the scroll," remember, Jesus just took the scroll, and now the praise begins. But first, here's proper praise in verse 8. "And when He had taken the scroll, the four living creatures did what? And the 24 elders, they fell down before the Lamb." The word for worship there means to fall prostrate before God, to fall down, to tremble in fear, to see this, what's going on, and to recognize how unworthy we are. As Isaiah looked and he saw this heavenly scene, and he says, "I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm undone, and I live among a people who are undone." They fall down before the Lamb. And it says, each holding a harp and a golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Guys, let me tell you, God hears our prayers. And these prayers are ever before Him and present. It's kind of neat here to see that in all of this worship and praise and imagery of who's worthy, Jesus is worthy, weep no more, worship the Lamb, we see these bowls that have this incense that are the prayers of the righteous going before God who loves us and who has not forgot about us. The prayers of the saints. And in verse 9, and so we move out of the throne room of around the throne, we move into all of heaven now. And it says that we're going to see reasons why the Lamb is worthy. It says, "And they sang a new song, 'Worthy are You to take the scroll and to open its seals, for You were slain.'" And it says, "And by Your blood You ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." No longer just the Jews, guys, or the chosen generation or chosen people. But the Bible says that until all the nations hear, Jesus is being patient. And one day He's going to come back, but not until all the nations hear about Christ. You know, one of the commentators pointed out that we believe that babies and that are aborted and babies that die in infancy before they reach that. Southern Baptists talk about this age of accountability, before they're accountable for their sin and before they can understand their evil before God. When they die, these children are ushered into the presence of a God who loves them. And so little babies and people from every tribe and nation. It says myriads of myriad. A myriad is 10,000. Now 10,000 times 10,000 is what? A billion. Somebody had to tell me that. I didn't take the time to add the zeros up. But what's 1,000 times 1,000? Because it says myriads of myriads, but then it says thousands upon thousands. What's 1,000 times 1,000? Some of you might get this. Some of y'all like 15. It's a million, right? So we've got just this throne, this amount of people, billions and millions of people. We ain't even got to that yet, but we're getting there. It starts off around the throne, and it moves up into all of heaven, and we're fixing to get to the myriads and the myriads and the thousands upon thousands. But the Lamb is worthy for this reason. He's able to open the seals because He was slain and His blood ransomed the people for God. And then it says this, from every tribe and language and people and nation, and it says, you have made them a kingdom and priest to our God. So He's worthy because He was slain. He was worthy because His blood purchased men. Remember our substitute. Remember redeemed us. Remember He caused the us being able to escape God's judgment and death, the Passover lamb. And so He's worthy. And it says He's made a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign upon the earth. Who's going to reign upon the earth with Christ? Those who have been made worthy. Those who have been covered by His blood. Those who have looked to Him and believed. This is the ones that are going to be enjoying His promises as we rule and reign with Him. 2 Timothy talks about that. If we endure, we'll one day rule with Him and we'll reign with Him. We've been made priests by Christ. And then we move over to we move from a song revealing the Lamb's worthiness to a song of praise by millions of angels. Look at verses 11 and 12. Then I looked. I was getting ahead of myself earlier. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads, 10,000s upon 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Thousands of angels and people throughout heaven worshiping the Lamb, giving Him praise. He's worthy of power, wealth, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing. A song of the Lamb's worthiness, first off, and a song praised by millions of angels. And then we move to a song of praise by all of creation. Look at 13 and 14. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying. Now look at this. This is every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. We see, guys, Christ our Savior who came and who's worthy of our worship and of our praise. He tells us to follow Him, to live our lives, to surrender to Him. And this day, Easter, we celebrate His not only His death, but we celebrate the fact that He lives and He's ruling and reigning. And one day, this vision right here is going to be taking place just before He brings His almighty judgment on those who shake their puny fist in His face and they say, we don't need You. So believers, rejoice and celebrate that Jesus moved on our behalf, and he purchased a men and a people from every nation and tongue and tribe. By his stripes we are healed. He is our substitute. But men and women, tremble in fear if you've not trusted in Christ. Because as he came to seek and to save the lost, and he came in meekness and patience and compassion and slow to anger, I pray that the Spirit would draw you to repentance right now. But one day, he's coming and the time of grace is over and the time of judgment is going to be at hand. Jesus is the triumphant Lamb who overcame. He's worthy to open God's will of judgment and history. Jesus fulfilled his purpose and his mission. I think about it is finished, paid in full. He came as he prayed in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus, God's perfect will was fulfilled through Christ, and he delivered us and set us free. It is finished, paid in full. The slain lamb standing, he lives and he declares victory. Jesus is coming back as a roaring lion to execute judgment. Don't reject the Lamb of God. Jesus is worthy of all praise and worship. I can't help but to end with this point that we're all going to give him praise. This is just a foretaste of glory. Singing these wonderful songs that our choir director lines up and these instrumentalists play and you sing with your voices. This is just a foretaste of heaven. How we'll all be gathered around the throne, given him praise, protected and sealed by the precious blood of the Lamb who has been victorious, who has conquered on our behalf. Fall before him and give him praise. Give him glory. Every knee we'll bow. As we started with, do you know him? That's my king. Let's celebrate his victory today. And let's think about the price he paid so that we might live and live for all eternity.